Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, this is Genevieve, and welcome to Genevieve's Gems. How are you this day? This is 2015. When you receive this program, it'll be January 8th, so I'd like to wish everyone a belated Happy New Year. I trust that your season, your holiday season, well, and I trust you received all the gifts that you would have liked to nor have gotten, you know. And I like to pray that many of you were touched, must be with family, friends. Perhaps some of you attended a service, you know, either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day in some religions, or even New Year's Eve. I know where a lot of churches have services New Year's Eve. So I trust that your 2015 has gotten off to a good start. Today, I'd like to share my own personal testimony. I make a habit of doing this every year, share my personal testimony of conversion to Jesus Christ. I could start where I could start maybe when I'm 21 years old, but let me give you a backdrop on my life. You know, my first 21 years, I was always brought up to believe in God, and I was in the public Catholic faith, and even this day, you know, I still remember the tenets. Those of you who are Catholic, remember the Stations of the Cross and the Rosaries, and Eucharist, and a number of things. Things you remember, I'm pretty sure, is all the statues that you had. And, you know, a lot of the tenets that affected me, you know, that had an impact on me, I think it was the reason I stayed on the straight and narrow. You know, I never got into any trouble. I never caused any trouble to anyone, you know. So my first 21 years, you know, they were going through, you know, normal growing up, you know, going to church. But I always had that belief in God. That was instilled in me by my parents. But there were those times when I had, you know, some inner struggles, you know. I didn't know why I had these inner struggles, but they were there. But some of you remember on them the little booklet called The Imitation of Christ. So I read that, and the many times that I read it, it gave me comfort. You know, that was my spirit was able to be calm and be calmed and appeased for a time. Now, I was going back to 21, you know, it's like 1970, you know, I think that's when I began my search for God. Now, I had made a promise that I was going to read the Bible from cover to cover. You know, it took a little while to get that, to do that. But it still was something that I was going to do. It was just a kind of an ego thing. It wasn't, I didn't think it would be any, you know, anything as far as anything spiritual. You know, it's just this kind of an ego thing. So I continued, you know, living a life. And as I was going through life, you know, I just began to wonder, well, what's life all about? You know, why are we here? You know, and most important of all, what's my purpose in life? And I'm sure many people ask that from time to time, and I certainly did. And then I went into the military in 71, March of 71, and so I got away from the New York scene. And, you know, then when I got later on, when I got to my permanent duty station, you know, later on, 1970, I went, you know, I had plenty of time because I was. He was a New York City kid in Kansas, and in Kansas was like a culture shock to me. You know, it's totally different from what I grew up around and in. So I had plenty of time. I had plenty of time to read the Bible, you know. So I, some reason, I don't know why it is, I began reading the book of Revelations. I don't know why I began reading it. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand it for anything. And I somehow I muddled my way through the first 8 chapters. But when I got to the chapter about you know, where the star would turn the water and the wormwood would turn the water bitter, you know, I said, wait a minute, no, that's enough of this. You know, and a lot of things I read in Revelation just kind of blew me away. It just totally blew me away. I said, whoa. So I went back to Matthew. I started with Matthew, the first book of the first gospel. Now, what I read in Matthew, there are a lot of things I didn't understand in Matthew's, but some of the things that I did understand made a lot of sense. One was treating your fellow, how you treated your fellow man. And I looked around me, and that certainly wasn't happening at the time. You know, you had protests and wars and so many social upheavals at that time. But I just kept on reading, you know, and I started to think, you know, seeds were planted. You know, I still didn't understand a lot of it, but the seeds were planted. And what happened about a year and a half later, I was invited to a conference. And, you know, I said, okay, I didn't know, you know. So I didn't know what this was going to be about, but I went. It was like for a weekend, you know. So I went with a group of guys who were on the base, same base. And we got there. It was mainly college kids. You know, about the same age as me, around my age. You know, it was college kids, and they were excited, you know, and everything. And the thing I remember getting there is how happy everyone was there. You know, I had never seen this, you know, and it was a genuine happiness, you know. It wasn't anything fake, and it wasn't anything contrived. It was genuine happiness. It came from within, you know, and that made an impression on me. And I think the first speaker that we had, I think the fellow's name was Dave, you know, he said that all of us, we can have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now, I've been to church all my life, but I don't ever remember hearing that spoken. And that one caught my interest, so I leaned forward and I kept listening and taking it all in. And after the meeting, I had a lot of questions. You know, how did God feel about what was going on in the world? How did he feel about racism? How did he feel about a lot of things? There's so many things going through my mind. I must have had about 3 questions right there. I probably written a book about them. But anyway, I just continued, you know, and through the whole weekend, you know, everything just, you know, it's the same thing, you know. You know, you have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you know, came through, you know. And I remember that after the conference, you know, went back to my base, and the difference hit me like when you saw a bucket of cold water on somebody. That's what it felt like. I was for a weekend. I enjoyed myself as much of happy, genuinely happy and excited kids who love God. And when it's a military base, you know, it was kind of the same humdrum. You know, some people complaining, you know, kind of dead, you know, and I saw that stark difference. And right then, God had me under conviction at the time. And about a week later, I went to a rally at somebody's home. And once again, I heard the same thing. Now you have personal relationships with God through Jesus Christ. And I remember the night. It was November 4th, 1972. It was a foggy night. I was alone at the time. And I got down on my knees and I prayed, you know. I asked Jesus to come into my life. You know, I asked him to change me. And I got in bed and I just fell asleep right away. I was really tired and exhausted. And I woke up in the middle of the night, I had to get a drink of water. You know, and I didn't feel anything, but I went back to sleep again. But later on that day, later on when I woke up, I felt a difference in me. You know, it was just like, you know, I just felt so clean. I think the way I describe it is, it's like when you put a cup under a running faucet, you know, it fills up and then it overflows. And that's the way I describe my conversion. The cup was overflowing. It felt like the whole cup was clean. And I felt like a new person. I felt like there was new clean slate. You know, it could start all over. You know, here I was 24. And then I could start over. You know, I reminded Nicodemus the question that he asked Jesus, how can a person be born again when he is old? You know, and I was 24. This is like I consider my conversion my second birth. And I remember that all through the rest of my military training, my military service, and I knew young men like myself, you know, from all over, different backgrounds, you know, different experiences, you know, and you serve strengthening one another, and I learned much about that. I learned much about, you know, God and Jesus and the Bible and everything. And it was a wonderful time in my life, you know. And then I was let out of the service, and then I slipped back a little bit, you know. Then I found a church where it was a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church. Matter of fact, it happened to be a few blocks from where I live. You know, my father told me about it, and so I went there, and I went there on a New Year's Eve service. It was thing I remember about it was very, very cold. It was like, it must have been like 0 degrees, something like that. That's how cold it was. But the church was packed. And I went there, you know, and I truly enjoyed myself. And I found a home, you know, I found a spiritual home, a church where I could be encouraged. And it was all through that time, you know, there's so many things. God blessed me so many different ways. You know, I met my wife there. You know, it was much later on I met my wife. You know, we were married there, and she was a Christian also. So it was a wonderful time. You know, I spent at that particular church. Now, all through the years, you know, you've had, like I mentioned, you have those ups and you have those downs. But God is always there. I think, to me, that was the difference, you know, a lot of things that happened in my life, I believe it. If it wasn't for Jesus, I don't know how I would be able to handle them. And then when I think about it now, you know, look at all the things that not only happened to me, but God also knows the future. He knows, you know, he knows what he has in store for us. He knows what's going to happen. One of the joys I saw was many men and women who were bound by alcohol, drugs, and, you know, infidelity and all sorts of sins, you know, miraculously saved. The Spirit got a hold of them, you know, and they accepted Jesus into their lives, and many of them were delivered from the demons of alcohol and drugs, and anger, and live from anger and all sorts of sins. And I saw lives miraculously changed. One other aspect that I remember is that, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, where we come from or what we do or what we know. You know, every human being needs Christ. You know, human being Christ. You know, I share that with it. And now, you know, I am. Now here it is, many years later. You know, it's been very wonderful. You know, through difficult times. You know, just thank God through the times where it was good. You know, just praise God. Now one aspect of my life is, you know, I mentioned that I'm a born again Christian. I'm also happen to be a transgender individual. Now, some of you that are listening to this, you know, you feel that, well, God hates people like us. You know, God hates it if you're a particular race or your particular sexuality or a particular gender. But I remind people that, you know, when God created you, He knew what you were going to be before you were even born. You know, and your sexuality, your gender identity is a part of who you are. And when I first came out as a transgender person, you know, I felt no shame, I felt no guilt, but I felt this was a part of what God wanted for my life. And God affirmed me on that a few years later. You know, I believed it before when I realized that I was transgender. You know, I had no doubt that God accepted me. But it was a miraculous event where I was alone in the church, you know, and I told God how I felt, and God just embraced me like a child. And I just, you know, I just wept tears of joy because God accepted me as a transgender individual. And God loves transgender people. He loves people who are gay. He loves gay people. He loves lesbian. He loves bi. He loves every gender. Every gender and every sexuality, because God is love. And, you know, I see now where now my life's been blessed. You know, I've met a number of people who, you know, I've shared that I am transgender. You know, and people. One of the blessings that I had was coming out to my members of my church a couple of years ago, and it was a blessing. And people embraced me and accepted me as I was. And my prayer is that, you know, some of you who are trans or gay or lesbian or bi, you know, you may feel that, you know, the church has treated you wrong, you know, or well-meaning Christians treat you wrong. But just remember, God loves you, and He's the one who created you. You know, He wants to meet you at your need. He wants to come into your life. You know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, your sexuality and your gender identity is part of who you are. You know, He created you like this. You're not a mistake. You know, you're not an accident. You know, you're not an abomination. That's something you're not. You know, you're a wonderful creation. You're created in God's image. We all are. You know, and I just wanted to share that with you. I think there's somebody here that needed to hear this. And, you know, even now, I look back and now, you know, God has many things in store for me. Now, I'm in my mid-60s now, you know, and I believe God has many wonderful things for me. One verse I want to share was instrumental in me becoming Christian was, it was in Romans 10:13, says, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When I first heard that, I took it as individually. The key word for me here was everyone. When I saw that everyone, I said that meant me. So I substituted my name, you know, who for when, you know, for when, you know, my name comes to, calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, I took that as a personal thing. You know, our relationship with God is a personal relationship. You know, it's each individual, you know, each individual has to come to know Christ on their, come to know Christ individually. Because God knows each person's needs. God knows how we all are. He knows everything about us, and he knows everything that we need. And I like to open up, you know, the opportunity for someone who may would like to open their heart to Jesus, open, you know, ask Christ to come into their life. You know, you have the opportunity. Now, you know, the thing you need to do is acknowledge you're a sinner. You know, you may, that might trigger some bad alarms to people, but listen, we're all sinners. You know, we're all sinners, so nobody's exempt to that. It doesn't matter who you are, or, you know, who you are, your socioeconomic status, or whatever. You know, we're all sinners. You know, we have to acknowledge that. Then we confess. Second thing you do is confess your sins. You know, what I had to do was confess my sins. When I came, I had to confess that I was a sinner. The third thing is ask Jesus to come into your life. You know, it has to, you know, just ask him to come into your life. It can just be a simple prayer. You know, Jesus, I need a change. Come into my life and change me. And then the thing is, you thank him for doing so. Now, my feeling came hours later, in a way, immediate. You know, it comes different ways. It can be subtle. It can be, you know, dynamic. It can be anything. You know, the feeling, the main thing isn't the feeling. It's the main thing is the fact that you've acted on this, acted out on the faith of accepting Christ into your life. That's the main thing. And, you know, when you give your life to God, you know, you'll see, there'll be changes in your life, not only in yourself, you know, you know, your whole worldview will change. And I just like to give you this, you know, I give you the opportunity, and, you know, some, you know, who, if you haven't really thought about it now, you know, you haven't done so now, just really think about it. Think about it. You know, it's something life changing. You change your life. You know, you change your life, and God has a plan for your life. You know, he has a plan for everybody who calls on him. You know, he has a plan for your life. And I'd just like to wish you once again a happy new year. And I just thank you for listening. And this is Genevieve and Genevieve's Gems. And look forward to the next time we get together. Thank you, and God bless you.